miracle. Now, that's a word you hear a lot today. Oh, we even hear it about a football game. That was a miraculous catch, someone might say. Or what about the phrase, the miracle of childbirth? Do miracles occur today? What does the Bible say about it? Would you be surprised to learn that the Bible says, no, miracles are not occurring today? Don Blackwell has a very interesting study on the subject of miracles today. We hope you'll stay tuned.
And now, Don Blackwell.
I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Jesus said those words to a paralyzed man, as recorded in Mark chapter 2 and verse 11. The man could not walk. In fact, he was carried on a stretcher by four friends into the house where Jesus was. But after Jesus spoke these words to this man, the Bible says that immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Friends, what happened there was a miracle. And it was done in the presence of many witnesses. And it was undeniable. How very different that is from the so-called miracles of today. The question that we want to discuss in today's program is, do miracles still take place today? We hope that you'll get your Bible and that you will join us for this very important study. Do miracles exist today? You know, if you turn on your television set, you'll see people claiming to be performing miracles. And some people say they have even witnessed a miracle. And so, some people today argue that miracles exist, and some people say that they do not exist. In today's study, we are going to go to the authority and see what the Bible has to say about this very interesting and important subject. We want to begin the lesson today by talking about the definition of a miracle. And I think it's very important that we define our terms before we even begin this study, because many people use the term miracle incorrectly today. World Book Dictionary defines a miracle this way: a wonderful happening that is beyond the known laws of nature. And that's a good definition. It is an event that is outside of the realm of natural laws, that is caused by divine influence. That's what we're discussing. And the Bible is filled with examples of miracles. In John chapter 2, we read about Jesus turning water into wine miraculously. We read about the parting of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 4. We read about Balaam's talking donkey, about men speaking in tongues, about the dead being raised, the blind being made to see, and the list goes on and on. Many miracles in the Bible. And all of these are true, genuine miracles. They are beyond natural law. Now, there are some other things that are sometimes referred to by people as miracles, but are not really miracles. For instance, childbirth, a baby being born. Sometimes people talk about the miracle of childbirth, but that's not really a miracle. Natural law went into effect with Adam and Eve, and it has been that way ever since. It's not a miracle. It's not outside of the realm of natural law. Now, it's true that it's amazing, but it's not a miracle. Now, a doctor saving someone's life, that's not a miracle. A tornado skipping someone's house and hitting another, that's not a miracle. Modern technology, it's not a miracle. Sometimes people use the phrase, the miracle of modern technology, but that's not an accurate term, really. Do we believe in miracles? Sometimes it is said about members of the Church of Christ that we don't believe in miracles. But friends, that's simply not true. The Bible speaks of many miracles, and we believe in every last one of them. The Old Testament and the New Testament speaks of many true, honest miracles that were performed. And so the question is not whether or not miracles have ever existed, but rather, do they still exist today? And the answer to that question is, no, they do not. Now, that's not because God doesn't have the power to do miracles. Certainly, God has the same power today that He had then. But He tells us in His Word that He is not exercising that power in that way today. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't answer prayer. Sometimes when you say that miracles don't exist today, people say, well, you don't believe in prayer. But that's not the case. God does answer prayer. Many passages of Scripture teach that. God doesn't, however, have to perform a miracle to answer prayer. God, through His providence, works through natural laws to answer the prayers of His children. And friends, to me, that's an even greater testimony to His power. God does not have to set aside natural law to accomplish His purposes. You see, His foreknowledge and His wisdom are such that He can accomplish His will within the bounds of natural laws that He has set in motion. Friends, contrary to what you may see on the television by those falsely claiming to be able to perform miracles today, the Bible teaches that miracles have ceased. And I want to give you several proofs from the Bible that show this to be the case. Number one, our first proof that miracles do not exist today deals with the nature of Bible miracles. You know, Bible miracles were undeniable. They were done in the presence of multitudes of witnesses. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 16, when Peter and John healed the lame man at the temple, I want you to listen to the words of their enemies. Not what they said about the miracle, but the words of their enemies. Their enemies said, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it." Now, such is not the case with the phony miracle workers of today. Their miracles are highly suspect and certainly leave plenty of room for denial. Frequently, they are those that have supposedly happened somewhere far away to someone that they don't even know. And the only proof that we have of their miracles is someone's word. How very different is that from the miracles of the Bible? Bible miracles were authentic. They could not be denied. The dead were raised, like Lazarus and Eutychus and Tabitha. And the healing was instantaneous and it was complete. Proof number two that miracles do not exist today has to do with the instantaneous nature of Bible miracles. Bible miracles were immediate. Jesus could heal an ailment that very moment. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 28, the woman from Canaan pleaded with Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus granted her request. The text says, "And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Friends, this is a far stretch from the modern faith healers who perform gradual healing or heal only internal sicknesses that no one can verify. A third proof of modern day miracle workers that they are fake is that when they fail to perform a deed, what do they say? When they fail to perform a miracle, they blame it on the faith of the recipient, or I should say the lack of faith of the one to be healed. But you know, such was not the case with Bible miracles. In the Bible, a miracle was not dependent on the one to be affected. In Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul performed a miracle on a man who had no faith at all. The man's name was Elymas. But his lack of faith in no way hindered Paul. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John performed a miracle and healed a lame man who didn't even know that they were about to perform a miracle. But today, when modern-day faith healers fail in an obvious way, the reason that they give, the place that they place the blame, is on the individual's lack of faith. And they do that to cover up the fact that they are frauds. Proof number four, that miracles do not exist today, has to do with the purpose of miracles. Why did miracles exist in the first place? You know, some people would say that God allowed miraculous healing for the purpose of alleviating human suffering. But you know, that's not the real reason. If it was, then why did Paul leave Trophimus sick in Miletus in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20? Why did Paul not heal Timothy of his stomach disorder in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 23? Why didn't Paul remove his own physical affliction in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9? You see, that was not the primary purpose of miracles. What then was the primary purpose of miracles? Ladies and gentlemen, the primary purpose of Bible miracles was to confirm the Word of God, to confirm, to prove that it was a message from God. In John chapter 3 and verse 2, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he said this, "We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." You see what he was saying? He was saying that he knew that Jesus was from God because of the confirmation of the miracles that he did. And that's the purpose of the miracle, to confirm the message. You remember that the Lord told Moses to go to Pharaoh and to say to him, "Let my people go and tell the children of Israel that God is going to deliver them." And of course, Moses said, "Lord, what if they don't believe me? What if they say the Lord has not appeared unto thee?" The Lord told Moses, "Then this is what you need to do, Moses. Take the rod that's in your hand and cast it down." And the Bible says it became a snake. And then he told him to take it by the tail, and he did, and it became a rod again. Now here's the reason for that. Exodus 4 and verse 5. He says that they may believe that the Lord God of your fathers has appeared to you. Do you see the purpose? Friends, it was to confirm that what Moses was saying had originated with God. That's the purpose of a miracle, to confirm the message of God. And in the New Testament, when the Lord sent His disciples out on what we call the Great Commission to carry the gospel into all of the world, Mark 16 and verse 20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them," listen to this, "and confirming the word with signs." That's miraculous signs. "Confirming the word with signs following." Now, let me get to my point. The point is that the purpose of miracles was to confirm God's word, and that since God's word has been confirmed, and it doesn't need to be confirmed over and over and over again, then friends, that means that the purpose of miracles is gone. And so with the purpose gone, the miracles are also gone. You know, the Hebrew writer, the writer of the book of Hebrews, asked the question, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" How? How was it confirmed unto them that heard? He says, "God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will." Hebrews 2, 3 and 4. Friends, the Word of God has been confirmed. And since it's the case that only new revelation needs to be confirmed, then the primary purpose of miracles has been done away. And miracles have been done away along with them. Proof number 5 that miracles do not exist today is that the Bible plainly tells us that that is the case. I want you to look with me at the book of 1 Corinthians, particularly in chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse number 8 of this chapter tells us, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Now, this is important. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. "But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." Now, I want you to notice he says, "We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come." The definition of the word perfect here is from a Greek word that means complete. And it's being used in contrast to that which is in part. That which is complete, contrasted with that which is in part. Now, that which was in part was God's Word. They had miraculous knowledge in part. They prophesied God's Word in part. And these were miracles. But he's telling us that when the complete Word of God is given, then the miraculous gifts are going to pass away. And since the Word of God has been completed in the New Testament, then the miracles have ceased. And the Lord tells us, He told us that was going to happen. Friends, today we have the full revelation of God to man, and we call it the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be, listen to this, perfect. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He's telling us that with this Word, with the Bible, we can be perfect. We can be complete because everything we need is now here. It's completed. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Friends, that which is perfect, that which is complete has come. And so that which is in part has been done away. The perfect shows us that miracles do not exist today. Proof number six that miracles do not exist today is that there is no one living today to pass on miraculous power. Now follow this argument. This is very important. In the New Testament times, miraculous power was given once to the apostles and once to the household of Cornelius. And the reason that God gave this power directly to Cornelius was to show His acceptance of the Gentiles. But other than those two times, the Scriptures indicate that miraculous ability was only passed on by the laying on of apostles' hands. And so everyone we read about in the Bible except for the apostles and Cornelius and his household, anyone that had miraculous ability, we read that they received that by the apostles placing their hands on them and giving them that power. In Acts chapter 8, we read about a man named Philip. Philip was a man who had miraculous abilities. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria. The Bible says he preached Christ unto them. Verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. But I want you to notice this. Even though Philip had miraculous ability himself, after he had taught these people and after they believed, they needed miraculous ability, but he was not able to pass that ability on himself. In fact, in verse 14, we're told that two of the apostles, Peter and John, had to be sent for and they had to come down from Jerusalem so that they could lay hands on them and give them this power. Verse 17 of that chapter says, then, when Peter and John had arrived, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And along with that, the miraculous ability. And of course, you remember how Simon the sorcerer, when he saw what had happened, he tried to buy the ability to pass on the power himself. He said, this is great. I would like to purchase that ability. And Peter told him, you have neither part nor lot in this matter. It wasn't men's ability to do this. Only the apostles, by the power of God, had that ability. But the point is that only by the laying on of the apostles' hands was miraculous ability given. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, the apostle Paul wrote to the brethren in Rome saying, I long to see you. He's saying, I long to come to you in person that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. He's talking about miraculous spiritual gift. He says, to the end that you may be established. You see, he had to be there in person to impart the spiritual gift. Why? Because he had to lay hands on them. And he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you, the miraculous gift, that is in you through the putting on of my hands. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 6, the Bible says, and when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, we say all that to make this point. The point is that in the New Testament, the passing on of spiritual gifts came by the laying on of the apostles' hands. And since today there are no apostles living to pass on the miraculous gifts, then no one today has miraculous abilities. And those who claim to have them are speaking contrary to the Word of God. So what about the claims of miracles today? Someone wants to know, how do you explain the claims of so many people today who say that they can perform miracles? Well, here's the first thing I say. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11 says that there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world. And friends, we need to remember that. When people claim to have miraculous ability from God, we need to remember to try the spirits because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Secondly, I remember this. In Matthew 7, verse 22, the Lord gives us a glimpse into the judgment day, and this is what He says. He says, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works?" All of these things that they're claiming are of a miraculous nature. But in verse 23, Jesus says, the Bible says, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So how do I explain the claims of miracles today? I say, number one, there are false prophets who claim to be doing miracles in the Lord's name, but that the Lord says He doesn't even know. I also point out that the so-called miracles of today do not even come close to matching the miracles of the Bible. The miracles of the Bible were instantaneous. They were irrefutable. The dead were raised. And even the enemies could not deny it, though sometimes they tried. I would also point out that many of these miracle workers of today have been exposed publicly as fakes. Several television documentaries have been presented and given abundance of evidence to show the lies and deceit of these people. So what is the source of modern-day miracles, so-called modern-day miracles? Number one, friends, it's trickery. It's someone faking. You know, in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says about Simon the sorcerer that he used sorcery and he amazed the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. And listen to this, "to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God." He fooled everyone. They all were convinced by his trickery. He was very good at it. And I think there are a lot of people like that still today who have tricked other people and led them to think that they have the power of God when actually they are frauds. And many people are getting rich with this con game. Number two, how do I explain it? Number two, I suggest to you a word called psychosomatics. That is mental healing. You know, there is no doubt that what goes on in the mind can affect the body. If a person's very surprised, it can cause him to faint. If he's very angry, it can cause him digestion problems. If he's very worried, he can become sick to his stomach. Nervousness can cause physical sweat. And so I think that it's unquestionable that the mind has some effect over the body. And that may have give some of the explanation in this so-called healing. Number three, I want to suggest to you the word hysteria. Sometimes people just get caught up in the moment. And emotions are running high and people just get caught up and they think that they're experiencing something that really they're not. But friends, whatever the explanation for these so-called miracles is, I know that the Lord said there are many false prophets and that there will be many on the day of judgment who claim to have done miracles in the Lord's name that He never knew. And I know that the miracles of today, when compared to Bible miracles, are found in marked contrast. Ladies and gentlemen, today there are no miracles. And today we need no miracles because everything that we need to serve God acceptably is provided for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable that the man of God may be perfect, completely furnished unto all every good work. Maybe you're tuned into the program today and you want to become a child of God. Friend, what you need is not a miracle. What you need is to obey the gospel. The Lord has given us everything that we need to be pleasing to Him. What you need to know today, more than anything else, is how to become a child of God. The way that one does that is by obeying the gospel. First, by hearing it, and then by believing the gospel of Christ. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." But upon hearing it and believing it, you must repent of your sins. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Upon hearing it and believing it and repenting of your sins, you must make that good confession. As did the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8:37 when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then you must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Again, Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." If you'll do those things, the Lord will add you to His church. If you will be faithful then, you can one day find a home eternally in heaven.